You're listening to the Fix My Feet podcast. Solutions for every step in your journey with the nation's leading foot and ankle specialists.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fix My Feet podcast. Dr. Waters here with my two colleagues, Dr. Evan Leonards and Ashley Anderson, our PA. Glad to be back. Sorry we had a few weeks of interruption there with craziness inside of our practice, but glad to be back today and glad that the weather is finally breaking. It's a little bit warmer outside, so we're going to talk about some of the things, one of the things that come with warm weather, and that is flip-flops. You know, everybody loves flip-flops. I got patients that live in flip-flops. They come in and say, like, I don't wear anything else but flip-flops. But there's some pros and cons to flip-flops. Hopefully we can talk about those today and get everybody a little bit more education about, you know, maybe when they're appropriate, when they're not appropriate, and those kinds of things. So let's start the discussion. There's varying types of flip-flops. Ashley, maybe you can review some of the ones you've seen in the market, you know, or maybe popular that we see that our patients wear, different types of flip-flops.
Yeah, I would say that there's like flip-flops, but then there's also slides. So I think like of the flip-flop side, I mean, there's obviously your very cheap like Old Navy flip-flops, you know, that have no padding and all of that good stuff that are just hard plastic. I think there's like the design or like the nicer flip-flops where they're like kind of made by some of the more popular shoe brands that have just like more of a stiff kind of sole and then usually not much support as well either. And then I know Target has some. There are flip-flops that are made by Crocs or Ufos or some of those other brands that have some like support or cushioning to it. And then I know Skechers has some. And then on the slide side, then there's more Birkenstocks, and Ufos also has some slides. There's all kinds of slides out there too.
What, Dr. Leonards, just from a design standpoint, what are some of the challenges that patients might encounter with flip-flops just from a pure, like the way that they're designed or the way that they function?
And I'll be honest, I do wear them sometimes, at least empathetic to that. But flip-flops in general, I mean, you've just usually have that one area of contact, you know, in that first inner space. So a lot of times it increases your chances of, you know, curling your toes down, having to kind of grip the flip-flop to pick it up and lift it around because there's not really any straps or anything like that on it. There's no support for anything with, you know, the back of the foot or the front of foot in terms of support for the arch or for stopping any kind of motion, which we'll probably talk about too with the more higher end like slides, like Ashley just mentioned. So it causes your foot to have to work quite a bit. The intrinsic musculature, and you know, those muscles aren't very big and there's not very many of them. So that can lead to some tendonitis issues or things if tendons are getting overworked without any support. But usually the biggest one is just, you know, the lack of support for people who need it, such as flat foot people. And then also, you know, the toes having to kind of squeeze down and contract and get that kind of hammer issue to help hold the sandal on, unless you've got a pretty snug fit with that thong right in the middle between the big toe and the second toe.
Well, one of the challenges for sure is the heel cup or the lack of a heel cup, I guess, is the challenge. Ashley, do you want to explain? People listening might not know, you know, what the heel cup is, why the heel cup is important, like in a traditional shoe versus like a flip-flop where you don't really have a heel cup. The same would be true of a flat type shoe for females, not really a heel cup there to speak of. So some of the same challenges exist in those types of shoes. If you can explain that a little bit, Ashley, I think that will help our discussion here.
Yeah, as much as I can kind of break down the biomechanics a little bit, is just when we are in our normal gait pattern, your foot goes and it's mobile. And then also like there's a rigid phase where you kind of have to lock in some of those joints for propulsion during walking and all of that. So the heel cup is designed to help control some of the way that you are pushing through the middle part of your foot. It's called pronation. And so when you are walking, when you have a deeper heel cup, it's going to help control the foot more during gait. So if something is very flat, you don't have any sort of support for that foot when it's bending through the normal like heel to toe motion of a push off. So I would say, I don't know how much this makes sense over the podcast, but the heel cup is just to help kind of control, help that arch part of the foot and everything. So yeah, when it's flat, you don't have that added support.
Right. And so when you get a deeper heel cup, just like Ashley said, you feel that arch support further back on the foot because, you know, you've created a concave type area back in the heel. So in a shoe, you can do that with an insert. And that helps control exactly what she said, pronation, which is flattening of the arch. And so that's very important. In a flip-flop, like I said, there is no heel cup. So if you are a heavy pronator or really flat-footed person, that's going to be flip-flops will exacerbate that condition, especially if that's my shoe of choice 24/7, especially in the spring, summer, and early fall periods of the year, which can lead to exacerbation of some of the, you know, structures of the foot. So Dr. Leonard's structurally, those structures that people might start having some symptoms with excessive flip-flop wear with the season coming upon us, some of the symptoms they might experience from excessive flip-flop wear.
I think most commonly I get like plantar fasciitis symptoms or heel pain or tendonitis kind of along the posterior tibial tendon. So occasionally I'll get some pain up at the front of the foot or with the toes, but usually it kind of manifests itself back there, which is for the exact same reason that Ashley just mentioned about the heel cup and trying to keep that rear foot from moving around all the time as you're going through your gait pattern. And without that support, those tendons just have to work a little bit more than they're probably normally used to, and that can lead to some inflammation. I see that quite a bit. I get a bunch of nature children that wear those flip-flops, you know, year-round, even in winter. So it's definitely, they get used to a lack of support to some extent, but if they increase their activity really at all or go do any kind of walking or go on a vacation, then they tend to feel that flare up a lot of times back in the heel or the arch area.
Yeah, I agree. Those are probably the two most common exacerbations that we see during flip-flop season for sure. So, we talked about some of the symptoms that they might get, you know. Now talk about, you know, we talked a little bit about flip-flops versus slides. There are some slides that have now started, I think, to deepen the heel cup, which has been a huge improvement in the industry. I agree. So Ashley, your thoughts, maybe you can even list some of those shoes that you're aware of that we see that have tended to do better job with that heel cup. And it seems to be more in the slide category, although I have seen a few flip-flops start to venture into that as well.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know all of the brands, but I know like Birkenstocks definitely is one of them that has a deeper heel cup. UFOs. There was a brand a patient was just telling me about in the office and I can't think of it, but I think that usually, yeah, like Birkenstocks has like a version where it has a little bit of a flip-flop type strap, but it's still supported on the sides with the heel cup. So I think that's more what it looks like. It's not that thin thing. And then Chacos have a tiny heel cup, but usually they're pretty flat.
Yeah. So I agree. I think Birkenstock's definitely been the leader, you know, as far as, and we're not definitely not getting paid by Birkenstock today in case anybody is out there wondering if that's the case, but we're not. But I think they have been the leader. The other thing I will say that they've done well is they've built their insoles out of, I'm going to draw a blank now.
Cork.
Yeah. Dr. Leonard, your thoughts, if patients are wondering, what are maybe some of the advantages of cork versus some of the other types of insoles we see in that flip-flop slide industry?
Yeah, I like the cork, and I have the Birkenstock kind of surgical clogs that I usually use, and that came with the same kind of liner that they use for their sandals, but it's pretty impact resistant. There's some good spring to it in term, but there's fairly semi-rigid support to it. It will also mold a little bit over time as you wear it. So we'll get a little bit more of kind of a custom feel to it as it kind of, contours to the foot. So it has some pretty nice properties. It does. It's not the most durable material, so it does tend to break down over time. But a lot of their shoes have that that can just be removed, and you can just replace that portion of it separately, relatively inexpensively. But it's a good material. It's much better than a lot of others.
Yeah, I think you've highlighted cork. The pros and cons of cork. I love cork. I've had just talking to Ashley about this in the office the other day. You know, for a lot of my patients, especially if there's higher BMI involved in a custom orthotic, I'll put cork in the to fill the arch support anyways, for those exact reasons that Dr. Leonard just talked about. It's a semi-rigid type material. It's more resistant to fatigue. It helps control the foot a little bit better. And so I think cork's excellent. Now it does, like he said, mold and will break down over time. But I mean, those are some disadvantages that you just have to work with. So I think that that's something else that Birkenstock's done very well. We use PowerStep flip-flops in the office for the reason that they've deepened the heel cup as well, for that exact reason that we talked about today. I think that's another great alternative if you're in that flip-flop category. I recommend those all the time for patients as far as like a house shoe. If you're a patient that doesn't like to wear shoes around the house, but you still have conditions that you need really good support, you have flares up of plantar fasciitis or tendonitis, I think that's a great alternative as far as like a house shoe and or a flip-flop. They make their soles out of a more like a heavy-duty rubber type of a versus cork. So it's just one or the other that you're dealing with. They have pros and cons to both sides. But I think that those are definitely some of the things that are advantageous if you're in that spring and summer shopping mode and trying to find something that you're looking for. I think those are things to look for. Another thing that we haven't talked about, and although it got mentioned earlier, that flip-flops cause you to do, and that is grip the flip-flop with your toes. What, Ashley, may be some of the deformities that you may end up acquiring from the, you know, constant and repetitive use of flip-flops versus over other types of shoes that don't require that gripping to happen?
Anytime that you're gripping consistently, it's more that those tendons along the bottom of the foot as well as the plantar fascia get really tight. And so it can cause some hammer toeing. Just that, always having that piece of material between that big toe and that second toe as well can just cause that, maybe that second toe to want to go off to the side a little bit and just create more of a gap. So that's more called suction. And so that can happen. So a lot of times it's up with the joints up there in those lesser toes. So kind of mallet toes, claw toes, hammer toes, and then just kind of the flexion deformities that you can get up there in the front of the foot too.
Yeah, well said. Those are really the ones we worry about, those long, and not that wearing a flip-flop a little, you know, it's this consistent use, consistently putting the toe in that situation over time, you're going to exacerbate or develop an acquired deformity there. And some people don't love the hammer toe look, or it does cause some medical issues in other patients. So that's something to watch out for as well. Your thoughts, Dr. Leonard's, about, I mean, I think people think, you know, if you come to the foot doc, they're going to tell you, don't never wear flip-flops. And I just don't agree with that statement. I think there's appropriate times and appropriate usages for flip-flops, slides, tennis shoes. What would you say if somebody's asking you for some recommendations? When would be a good time to wear a flip-flop or a slide versus when might be a better time for an actual tennis shoe, even though the weather's nice?
Yeah, and like I said, I try and be empathetic because I obviously want to wear some sandals occasionally too. It's just part of, you know, the summertime stuff, especially when you have to go through winter. So I usually tell them, I mean, try and, if as long as you're supported, you know, in a good shoe or something like that for, you know, 75-80% of your day, that usually buys you a little bit of time to cheat in terms of some flip-flops or some slides or something like that. Obviously, if you're going to and from the pool, to and from the beach, if you're going on vacation, a lot of walking. Yes, the weather's nice, but generally a walking shoe or supportive shoe is probably going to be better in terms of getting you to where you're trying to go. Obviously, if you're around water or you're going in and out of water or you're at a water park or something like that, you know, sandals can be fine. And in short spurts, it's probably not going to cause any issues. It's just mostly these issues we're talking about are from patients who live in these shoes, like we mentioned before, and that's really all they wear. So if you can at least transition to something that's a little bit more supportive in terms of the travel time, or if you're even in warm weather going to be doing a lot of walking, give your feet the support they need, and then save the sandals for more specific occasions where you really need to be able to get shoes on and off quickly, or around water or something like that, that it makes a little bit more sense to be in a sandal or flip-flop.
Good. Okay, last thing of the day. I'm going to give you guys some vacation scenarios for the summer.
Yes.
And you tell me what your recommended shoe wear would be for that scenario, okay? First thing, Ashley, because I know you love this place for vacation, I have planned for my family a trip to Disney World, where I'm going to be in Disney World 4 or 5 days for the next week. We all know what's involved, the amount of walking involved in Disney World. But, you know, I love flip-flops, but what is your recommendation to me as far as shoe wear for that type of vacation?
You really should be in a supportive tennis shoe. I mean, you really should. If you absolutely will not wear a supportive tennis shoe, then I would say something that is like a strap-on sandal, so that way you don't have to grip with all of the walking you're doing. Even like a Birkenstock is good, but you're still gripping and putting strain on your foot. So if you have something that straps, like a Birkenstock that straps, or a Chaco or a Teva or something like that, those more like kind of active sandals are something that would be a good option.
Dr. Leonard, I'm going somewhere, but I have to fly. I have to walk around the airport all day, but I have to take my shoes and socks off to go through security. So what is your recommendation for getting around these massive airports that I have to get through?
So say get TSA pre-checks. You don't have to take your shoes off. So that's going to help with the keeping the shoes on. But otherwise, I would still say it's probably worth it to, you know, untie the shoe. You're probably okay at tying a shoe at this point in your life. So you should be able to get that snug back up pretty quick and at least give the feet a break while you're at the airport. Depends where you're going. Those can be several mile journeys through the airport, getting from gate to gate. So probably not a place I'd be flopping around in a flip-flop myself.
Ashley, I'm headed to the Caribbean and spending time on the beach and at the resort for the next 7 days. What is your recommendation for beach shoe wear?
I would say you can pull out your flip-flops when you go to the beach. You can, like Dr. Leonard's mentioned earlier, when you're walking around sightseeing, bring your tennis shoes, wear your tennis shoes. And the day you go to the beach, bring your flip-flops and you can wear that around the beach. I think that it makes a lot more sense to not track sand around, and to wear a flip-flop is a perfect opportunity there.
Good. I think we've covered that. I think that kind of highlights what we're talking about. Be cognizant of the activities you're involved in. You know, sometimes, I mean, I lived in the Philippines for a couple of years, and I always reflect back to them playing basketball in their little flip-flops, their little dollar store flip-flops all the time. I'm sure out of necessity a little bit, but I think about now, just where I'm at now and all the injuries that probably have or will occur in those kind of situations. So I think be cognizant of the activity. There's appropriate uses of flip-flops. I think, you know, some of my final recommendations, if you're going to go the flip-flop route or the slide route, I think it's worth spending the money to get something a little bit nicer. If you can get something with a deeper heel cup, I think that that's to your advantage as well. And something that's constructed out of a little bit more durable material than just the very thin plastic. I think all those things would be to your advantage in getting into this sector of footwear. Ashley or Dr. Leonard, any final recommendations for those listening about flip-flop slides or appropriate uses?
And I think some, at least for patients I've talked to, some of it is not even just the convenience of flip-flops. It's more about like the minimalist kind of approach to footwear, yeah. which I'm sure we could get into in a separate podcast, but that's another reason for it. So sometimes these recommendations aren't taken really seriously because they're, you know, trying to strengthen the feet or they go barefoot a lot. And so a flip-flop is more support than they normally have. So I'm sure we could get into that at some point, but if that's you, still, you know, make sure you give your feet the support they need. Don't go barefoot in the airport or at Disney World, please.
Yeah, barefoot's a whole nother thing. And you're right. That's a whole nother rabbit hole. We're not going to dive down there today, but I will say this about barefoot is, you know, there are injuries that come from being barefoot. So even if you want to go the minimalist route, like Dr. Leonard said, I think having something to cover the bottom of your feet, if you're going to be on a beach where you don't know if you're going to step on a piece of glass that's been there or a little rock or something like that. Yeah, I mean, because that can lead to a whole nother fun ball of games for you and I together in ways that we don't want to have happen. So, that's my thoughts about that. Ashley, any final recommendations?
No, not really. I think we covered them.
Great. Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful spring. The weather is finally starting to break. I think now that I said that, we're going to get a snowstorm here in Nebraska. I know it. So, but I think the weather is good. I hope everybody has a wonderful spring, summer, vacation season and enjoys. I love flip-flops, so enjoy the footwear, but use them appropriately. And if you have any questions or comments, please drop them. We'll try to get them addressed. Thanks again to Dr. Leonard and Ashley for being here today. This is the Fix My Feet podcast. Check us out on social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Platte River Foot and Ankle Surgeons on the web, also on all the social media channels. And until next time, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Fix My Feet podcast. To schedule an appointment with one of our providers, visit www.prfootandankle.com.